Chapter 17, and let me pray before I begin. I certainly don't want to undertake any message without prayer, and so please pray with me and for me. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning, and I need you. Father, I cannot preach on my own. You know I'm insufficient and inadequate for the need of this hour. But Father, I know you're sufficient and you are my adequacy. And I ask you, Father, if you would, to help us this morning. And Lord, I don't know the shape of this congregation. I don't know where their minds are at and where their thoughts are, but some way if you'd help them to just hone in, just tune in for a few minutes. I ask you, Lord, if you would, to open their hearts to receive. I pray you do an eternal work and you'd remove all hindrances and you would get all glory and all honor. And whatever you want, that's what I want. Please help me now. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Amen. In Matthew 17 and verse 14, very familiar passage. It being Father's Day, seemed like I used to shun preaching holiday messages. Christmas, I might preach on Christmas, I might not. But I have found that seem like that's how God leads me these last days. And so I wanna try to talk to you about a godly father or a man who represents or in typology or is symbolic of a godly father. Verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And I'll stop right there. Let's go over to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 37, the Bible says this, and it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples. And let me just stop right there. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 9. And all of you are familiar with this text. I'm comfortable, I don't remember, but I'm comfortable I have preached this on Father's Day before. It's a wonderful story of a father who has a son with spiritual needs, and through the father's effort, his son was helped. And so that's what we're looking at. Now, as in the background or prior to this, if you were to back up to Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 13, you would see that Jesus and Peter and James and John have experienced a mountaintop experience, both physically and spiritually. They have physically been on the mountain, but spiritually they have been on the mountain. And the first thing they encounter when they come down from the mountain are those in need. And not just the boy is in need. The disciples are in need, for they failed. The disciples could not meet the need of the hour. They failed. And I suspect many of us in the room can relate to the disciples. There is a spiritual need, and we want to help, and we have tried to help, but for some reason we have failed. And so the disciples had a need. The multitude, no doubt, had a need. Here they are, looking at who's supposed to be God's people, and Jesus claiming to be who he is, and it looks like that they can't help someone in need. And so I guess the validity of who the disciples are and who Jesus is, probably in their mind they're wondering, is this thing really so? I mean, here's a young boy and he can't get help, and is it real or is it not? I think sometimes there's a lot of folks roll that over in their mind. Is this thing real or is it not? Sometimes I'm sure people come in here and they see us weeping and rejoicing, and they say this, what is that? Is this real or are they real? Are they just putting on a show? Is it just emotion? Is it just shallow emotionalism? Is that what it is? Or is there something real to what's going on? And so the multitude, no doubt, had a need. And then I can say this, that troubled father had a need. He needed some help himself. He no doubt, if there's anything worse than you being in dire straits, it's your children being in dire straits. Here's what most parents would say, I'd rather it be me as my children. And that's so. We know that, so you parents know that to be the case. So the father has a need, but really the son needs healing. And if the son gets healing, everybody gets healed. That's how it goes. So maybe there's some lessons for us as well, that as the Lord allows us to be on the mountaintop, spiritually speaking, no doubt he's preparing us to help those in the valley who are in need. He's helping us. And I know Jesus didn't need any help, but I think we can draw that lesson from that. And then we need to understand this. While our life is going good and everything's lovely, there are folks who are struggling. There's just folks who have a hard time, and we have it good. And so understand this, while you're enjoying the mountaintop experiences, there's some in the valley needing help. And so there might be much I could say. I'd really like to talk to you about this father. I'd like to talk to you, and I'm going to in just a minute. But can I say this? He's the one calling the shots, not the boy. The boy's in need, but it's daddy who's mapping out the strategy to get him help. Now, here's what we see as we pick up. When I was involved some in the picking up kids, here's what we'd not, and we'd like to bring your kids to church. And here's what the mom and daddy would say. Well, we just let them make up their own mind. We just let them decide if they won't go or not. Can I say that's the dumbest thing you could ever do with your children? Amen. Children do not realize or know their spiritual needs. That's how it is. A 10-year-old who can decide where he wants to go and if he wants to go, can I say to you, for a parent to yield to a child's spiritual desires, in most cases is utter foolishness. They're children. They don't know. That's what we see here. And so I want to just look at the profile of this dad. He's in charge. And dad, spiritually speaking, if you're going to be a godly dad, you have to be spiritually in charge. Amen. Now, I understand I'm not discounting the mom. You ought to consult your wife. She ought to be part of it. It's a dual relationship. And so they need to be part of it. But dad, the Bible teaches that the father or the husband is the head of the home. And that's a powerful lot of amens and shouting on that. But really, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Preacher Wayne says. That's what God says about it. Amen. And that puts weight behind it. And so here's a dad who sees and by the way, this sickness is a spiritual need. When we look at it, he is possessed with a dumb spirit. It's a spiritual, at the root of it is a spiritual need. And the greatest need your children's ever going to face are going to be the spiritual needs they face. Amen. We worry about their educational needs, their physical needs, maybe even their emotional needs. And all of those are good. But can I tell you what's most important is their spiritual needs. Amen. And so here is a dad whose son has spiritual needs. And so I want to look at two or three little things, a couple of things before we get to the dad. I want to look at deity himself. Jesus is deity. He is God in the flesh. Man, I ought to get a few more amens than that. That's just the Bible. That's just the Word of God. Jesus was God in the flesh. All right, we're going to talk about deity a little bit, but then we're going to talk about the disease. I don't know if you can call it a disease, but I use that for alliteration's sake. We're going to look at the disease, and then we're going to look at the dad. And I'll just quickly hit these, and we'll be through. I don't think I'll preach too awful long this morning. First of all, when deity shows up, when Jesus shows up, things begin to happen. Here's what has to happen spiritually. If anything's going to happen, the Lord has to be part of it. That's right. If your child ever gets spiritual help, the Lord is going to have to be part of his help. Maybe we could almost say all of his help. And so when he shows up, things begin to happen. People are greatly amazed in verse 15 and they run to him. That's what the Bible says. Look in verse 15. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. I don't know why they were greatly amazed. Maybe he still had some of the glory that he had from the mountain. I don't know. They were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And so when he shows up, the people begin to move. And when he shows up, he challenges the scribes in verse 16. He defends his people. Aren't you glad we've got a God who defends and looks after his people? I'm thankful for that. Here's what he said, and he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Here they are coming to maybe some. There's a couple. I know the fishermen were on the mount, but maybe some that's not as educated as the scribes are in the Old Testament law. And so Jesus comes up, and he's going to help fight their battles for them. I'm glad I have one that fights my battles. He questions the scribe, and then we know that a man kneels down and intercedes for his son's infirmity. All these things start happening when Jesus shows up. And the greatest need for this church and for your life, for your children, for your family, It's for Jesus to show up in our midst. Amen. That's right. Now, if Jesus had not have shown up, let me say to you, nothing would have happened. At least positively, nothing would have happened. There'd have been a lot of disdain for the disciples. The boy would have went away as he came. But because he did show up, things began to happen. And maybe we can draw a lesson from that. You can't stay on the mountain and carry out the work of the Lord. Just can't do it. There's people that chase a shout. Wherever it's sweet and there's honey here, that's where they want to go. And then they want to go where it's sweet and honey over here and honey over there. And you know we shout it out and I like it and I promote it and I want it and I have to have it. But can I say there is a time for us to bend our back and engage in the work that the Lord has and attempt to help those who are in spiritual need. That's how it is. And so we see deity shows up, things begin to happen. And you really need God to show up in your child's life if you have a wayward child. But then we see the disease. I've already said it was a spiritual disease. Verse 17, the last part of the verse, which hath a dumb spirit. Really, there was a lot of symptoms. Here's what you might say the problem was. He's fallen into the fire and the water. And he was foaming at the mouth and gnashing his teeth. In one text it reads. And you might say that's the problem. That wasn't the problem. That was the symptoms of the problem. Many times we attempt to address symptoms and we overlook the root of the problem. The root of the problem was a wrong spirit in him. He needed that dumb spirit. If something can be done with the dumb spirit, all those other things will take care of themselves. I hope you get where I'm coming from on that. I pray you get that. I'm in another book, so let me be careful. I'll get you messed up. In chapter 17 and verse 15 of Matthew, it says, "For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." Notice, let's see if I can find another. Notice verse 22. "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water." Notice this phrase. The dad said, "To destroy him." This dumb spirit wanted to destroy this boy. And let me just say to you, mamas and dads, this Father's Day, I'm talking to the fathers. You say to your fathers, the devil wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy them. He don't want to wound them. He don't want to hurt them. But spiritually speaking, he wants to destroy them. That's the story we're looking at. And it really is quite sad when you look at it. Here's a boy, and we're gonna see. I don't know if this, I read all three texts. Well, verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, ever since he's a child, of a child. Since he's a child, since he's just a little fella, he was like that. Makes you think he's up maybe teenage years, late teenage years, or something along that way. By the way, just because your children are teenagers doesn't mean you turn them loose. They're not grown. Amen. They're not grown yet. Spiritually, they're still in that moldable build of learning, growing up state. And they need their parents. Amen. I don't know, maybe that's supposition, but I believe he was probably mid to late teens, the way I interpret that, since he was a child, and he said of a child. And so this disease had been with him for a while. I've got a feeling if I know this dad at all, he'd probably been kindly like the woman with the issue of blood. He'd probably been to a lot of places trying to get help for his child. I'm reading in between the lines there, and you may not agree with me, but a dad this concerned, it would seem to me that maybe he's for some time been trying to find help for his child. Do you need help for your child? Dad, does your child need help? Have you been trying to help them on your own? Well, here's what I've got wrote down. Not just anyone was going to be able to take care of this boy's need. Just not anybody can help. When it comes to spiritual matters, it's not just anybody who can help. There'll be a lot of people say they can help. There's not anybody who can help. And ultimately, if the Lord doesn't help, nobody can help. That's right. And so here he is. Here's a dad, and he has a son who's in bad shape. And this disease is a disease that if it happens at the right time when nobody maybe is paying attention, he could be destroyed. It's a pretty serious matter. And I want to say to you, when your children are spiritually on the bubble, it's a pretty serious matter. Those of you that have your children have spiritual needs, it's a serious matter. Life and death in the balances. Y'all can take that lightly if you want to, but that's true. You can go ahead and laugh and make light of that if you choose to, and you can disregard it. You just say the preacher's making a mountain out of a molehill, but I'm not. This boy could easily lose his life if mom or dad's not paying attention when this evil spirit moves on him. Or this dumb spirit, let me say. It is an evil spirit. It's of the devil. One of the books says. And so it's going to take a spiritual power to help this boy. And the Lord is going to use the Father as a instrument to get this boy where he needs to be, to get the help that he needs to get. Amen. And so, let's look at this dad for a little while. I'm going to tell you why a lot of children in the shape they're in because of the shape their daddy's in. Amen. Children follow their daddy. Most time they look up to their dad. What daddy does, the child will do. Many cases. All right. So what can we say about this dad? Number one, he's not ignorant of the shape his children are in. He's well aware of the situation the children are in. He knows his son's spiritual needs. He's not in the dark. He's not living his life and the son's living his life and he doesn't know what's going on. He knows exactly the state his son is in. In fact, he knows specifics. I mean, you can't tell him any more about his boy than what he already knows because he knows what's going on in his boy's life. Dad, y'all know what's going on in your children's life. That's right. If you're going to help them spiritually, you need to know what the problem is and where they're at and what needs to be done and where they need to get help at. He's not in the dark. He knows specifics. Look in verse 17 and 18. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he tireth him. I don't know that I know exactly what that tireth him means, but it seemed like there's a struggle there. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They just couldn't do it. And so here's a dad, and he says this about his son. he's got a wrong spirit in him. He's got a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. I mean, he was influencing this boy, taking him here, there, I guess, moving him around. Notice what else it says. He foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. He knows what's going on with his son. He can tell you the situation. You know the state of your children, Dad? Talking to dads, do you know the state of your children? Let me just stop and say this. I don't care if your child is a teenager. Your child's spirituality is your business. Amen. Here's what they say. Well, that's my business. I've heard that. Not all say that, but I've heard that. That's my business. You don't have any business knowing what I'm looking at on my cell phone or what I'm watching or who I'm talking to. Can I say, Dad, if you've got children at home, it is your business to know what's going on with your child. Amen. Amen. That may sound harsh in this society, but that lines up with the Word of God. You know, the Word of God's out of date in this society, but it's still right. Amen. Amen. And if you're serious about serving God, you're going to go with the Word of God instead of the word of the world. And then I want to say this, he wasn't in denial or pretend that nothing was wrong. Here's what some parents do. They just pretend like nothing's wrong. Well, everything's going to be okay. Is it? Can you tell me everything's going to be okay with your child when they have a spiritual problem and it's unaddressed? Are you kidding me? Are you living in pretend land? They're in denial. I know folks right now, maybe their children, their child lies. They pretend like it's not anything wrong. Their child does things they ought not to do. Maybe watches things they shouldn't watch. They just act like that's just kids. Can I tell you there's a problem? They're in denial that there's a problem. I'm going to tell you, Dad, you better wake up and realize this. When your child has a spiritual need, there's a problem there. See, it has to be addressed somewhere if it's ever going to be helped. If nothing changes, how can we expect anything else to change? I don't know if that makes sense. If you don't change, maybe I ought to say it that way. If you don't change your ways, how can you expect anything else to change with your children? His son has a problem and he admits it. He just admits we have a problem. He's not one that sees no wrong in his children. There are parents like that. They see no wrong in their children. They just see wrong in everybody else's kids. Their little Johnny he's sprouting angel wings and everybody else is wicked. I tell you, it's just not that way. This fellow saw. He didn't see any problems in anybody else's children, but he saw problems in his child. Amen. He was not in denial. Dad, don't be in denial. And he's not ashamed of the condition his son's in. He just wants him to get help. You know, some people's too ashamed to even mention what their children's problem is. They don't. Their parents don't want you to think one thing bad about their child. Can I tell you, all children fit in about the same category. They're kids. Your child's not miles ahead of everybody else. He's got a flesh just like all other children have. Good night. Who do we think we are? You see, maybe there's other children who didn't foam at the mouth, who didn't gnash their teeth, didn't have fits. I'll just put it in East Tennessee vernacular. Who didn't have fits. And it'd been real easy to try to hide that and make everybody think his child is like everybody else's child. Now, I'm not saying those children didn't have problems. They had some kind of problems, but maybe they didn't have this particular problem. And so his pride would have driven him to try to hide what's wrong with his children. But he's not ashamed. Here's what this dad wants. I wished every dad had this in their heart. He just wanted his child to get some spiritual help. He's willing. You know what he did when he came to Jesus? He kneeled down. He humbled himself before the Lord. And he said this in verse 22, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion to help us. He said, Lord, would you just help us? That was the burden of his heart for his kid, his son, his only child, to get help. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid when some kind of competition, my child's better than your child, or my child can outdo your child. Can I just say, won't you just admit it, if your kid has some needs, and humble yourself before the Lord and ask him to help. I think it'd go a long ways. We need some dads who'll be honest about their children. Quit living in denial. Be honest hearted. But then can I just mention a few other things? Knowing this boy couldn't help himself, he's willing to take time out of his busy life and try to help him. Let me put it to you like this. He's willing to get involved in his life. I'll tell you why some dads don't care, don't know. It's because they're too busy living their life to be part of their child's life. I'm telling it right to you. He took time out of his busy schedule to try to help his boy. I know a well-known preacher had one of the most well-known churches, I guess, in our circles, was having some problems out of one of his child. He resigned. He dedicated himself to trying to help his child. He took time out of his career, out of his prestige, out of his, I don't know what word to use, but he wanted to help his child, so he was willing to get involved. Godly dads get involved when it's possible to get involved. Let me just say this. Sometimes the only hope for a child is the parent's involvement. Who's going to be more concerned about your child, Dad, than you? And let me say this, I know there's some children you can't help. I know that. They'll take advantage of you. There's been mamas and daddies try to help children, and it cost them every penny they had accumulated over their life. There's some you can't help. I'm well aware of that. They'll take advantage of you if you try to help. But here's what I want to say, Dad. If you're really serious about helping your children, if there's any way you can get involved in their life, do so. I believe it's necessary. Had this dad not got involved in his boy's life, would he have been healed? I don't know. Nobody can answer that question. But I'd like to say there's probably a good chance he might have missed out. This boy needed his dad to get involved in his life. And then what did he do? Here, you say get involved, what do you mean? Well, he took him where he thought Jesus was. That's what he did. He took him where he thought Jesus was because he had heard of the healing, maybe even saw some healing Jesus had did, and had faith that if he could get him to Jesus, there was hope for him. Now, when it comes to spiritual needs, you'd be wise to get your children in the presence of the Lord. Now, here's what you might say, where's that at? Let me give you a little verse. Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now here's what I want to say, and I know he's omnipresent, and I'm well aware of that. I'm going to tell you where he'll manifest himself at, and that's in the house of God. It's in the house of God. Now here's what's the sad thing is, not every church that claims to be a church is a church. Not every church that claims to be a church wants really God to be present. Now y'all are real quiet on me, but that is the truth. Most churches are playhouses or entertainment centers. That's. We asked a young man one time, he'd been coming with us and he's going somewhere else. And we asked him, why do you go there? And he said, well, just like it better. And why do you like it better? What do y'all do? What do y'all do there? You know what he said? This is a kid. Here's what he said. We play. Now, he called it children's church, but he called it playing. I don't know who's right. Maybe they did teach him truth and he just didn't catch on to it or something. But in his mind, he was going to church to play. I'm going to tell you, Dad, you better get your children somewhere where God shows up every now and then. That's right. I'm telling you right. Godly dads attempt to get their children in the presence of the Lord. And really, I don't know any better place than the local church. Amen. Amen. And I know it's out of date. It's out of style, our way of worship, our singing. And I know the right people, it's under scrutiny, and they question it when we get emotional. I understand all those things. Let me just tell you, church, it's still right. How can something as big as God start stirring around not manifest itself on the outside? You tell me that. Somebody as big as God moves inside and starts stirring on your heart, how in the world is it not going to bubble over to the outside? I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid there's a lot of that crowd that they ain't nothing on the inside to bubble over. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to just give you truth this morning. Here's a dad that said, my boy needs to be in the presence of God, of Jesus, God in the flesh. So he goes down, but you know, Jesus wasn't there. And Jesus don't manifest himself every service. Sometimes we come to church and leave and we just feel like, well, we just went through the motions tonight or today or whenever it is. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to show up. Because he took him down there and he wasn't there and he tried to settle for man's efforts. I'm telling you, Dad, the Lord Lord has to do a work in your child's heart if he's ever going to be spiritually healed. Amen. Amen. You know that's right. Well, his persistence, he didn't just turn around and walk away in anger or frustration. But the disciples couldn't do it. He's just, I guess he's just hanging around, whatever it reads. And the Lord shows up. Here's what I want to say. He was persistent. He tried to ask the disciples to do it. They couldn't do it. Then the Lord shows up. He asked the Lord. You see, this boy didn't get immediate help, but if you stay amongst God's people, the Lord's going to show up. Sooner or later, when he shows up, there'll be some help for them if they'll have it. And so this dad took him to where he thought the Lord, where he thought Jesus was. And he was persistent. And then this dad admitted his shortcomings. Notice what the Bible says. I can find it. I believe it's verse 24. Let's read verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Here's what he said, I believe, but I have some unbelief in there too. I need some help. I'm not what I ought to be. Would you help me be what I ought to be? I can relate to that guy. I believe, but I have some unbelief sometimes. But I can relate to him. I can put myself in that fella's shoes right there. Dad, maybe you need to just say, Lord, I believe, but I have some struggles. Help me with my struggles. You see, when the daddy gets right, then shortly the child's going to get right. I guess he got right. I guess the Lord helped him with his unbelief. You see, here is a dad. I guess I'm through this morning. Here is a dad who interceded with the Lord on behalf of his son. The son couldn't help himself, and most kids are so spiritually inept that they got to have some spiritual guidance, Dad. They just have to. His son had a dumb spirit. Guess that meant he couldn't talk. But his dad did for his son what his son couldn't do for himself. And I want to say, Dad, you've got to get involved in the life of your children. I don't know what else to say. There is a perfect example of what a godly dad ought to be. And here it is, Father's Day, and we've got a generation of kids growing up that are spiritually delinquent. They're spiritually ignorant. They're spiritually inept. And can I just tell you, y'all to keep them in church. But 2 hours on Sunday morning and an hour and a half on Sunday night and a little Wednesday night service, that is not enough. They need you. They need you. I don't know where you're at. I really don't know where you're at. I don't know where we're at with our kids. I have an idea. I watch things and If what I see, Dad, don't lead your children down the wrong road. Lead them to the right place. Get them in the right place. I want to ask you this morning. I'm through preaching to you. Some of you guys could probably pick out three or four more little truths out of that text. But all I'm saying to you, Dad, your children need you to be what you ought to be, spiritually speaking. They need you to be what you ought to be. Are you what you ought to be spiritually? Let's bow our heads this morning. Sister Grace is coming to the piano. I've said what I've said, and you have the Word of God. God spoke to your heart. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If not, we'll be through shortly.